We saw a sea of faces witnessing the inauguration of President Barack Obama yesterday, and just here's the voice of one of them, Tracy Rousey from Alberton, Georgia.
I guess I felt I was on the mall today. It felt almost spiritual. You know, we were singing Lean On Me and Amazing Grace, and I don't know, just brought tears to my eyes because everybody was hugging each other and singing and dancing to keep warm.
Today, tens of thousands of people are heading home, and we're joined by two reporters who were following some of those faces. Josh Rogers is a political reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio, and our friend Ben Calhoun reports for Chicago Public Radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Josh, I understand that you were on a plane with some folks from New Hampshire all the way down to Washington. And what were they talking about, and how did they feel about how yesterday went?
Well, most of the people that were on the plane were elected officials from New Hampshire, and they were all, quite excited at the prospect of regime change, but also of, Barack Obama's election, and they were hoping that, they could roll up their sleeves and help the then president-elect, achieve his ambitions. And, I've heard a lot of the same of that last night, that, they were, overjoyed and moved by what happened yesterday, but knew that resolving some of the issues that that face the country and making Obama's agenda real will take a lot of hard work.
Josh, that's how they talk in New Hampshire: regime change, right? Yeah.
They do.
Yes, indeed.
And Ben, I gotta say, I think you're a little more ambitious. You actually got on the bus with some folks from Chicago and drove to the inauguration. Who were the people that you were following, and tell us about their experience and what you were struck by most?
Well, this was a bus trip organized by Congressman Danny Davis's office. There was a demand in Chicago for people who, people were looking for a way to get to D.C., an affordable way to get to D.C. And so Congressman Davis's office took this on. They started with two buses, and demand was so high, they ended up with 10 buses and two vans for overflow. I have to say I was struck by the sense of ownership that people making the trip had. Something I heard from so many people was, I just want to be there to be a part of it, to say I was a part of it. And to me, it just signals a certain level of sense of ownership of a very public moment.
And you talk about how, when you dug a little deeper in talking to some of these people, that there really was this intense complexity behind their notion of civic engagement.
Yeah. There's sort of that the blanket sense that you get, that people, I want to be a part of it. They sense the historic nature of the moment. But once you drill a little bit further down, they've all got, separate reasons. I talked to one woman who, has been struggling with breast cancer. She is working through an HMO system. And so she told me that she was, she feels healthcare is, her top concern. And she felt compelled to come here. And, her hope for, changes to the nation's healthcare system was behind that. Other people wanted to come here with their families because there were historic, narratives in their families, and they wanted to be here with their parents. There's just everybody has a different storyline that ties them into the moment.
And Josh, you describe watching people crying as President Barack Obama was speaking. What was he saying at the moments that they were the most touched? And what was going through your mind as you were observing all of this?
Well, where I was at that moment, I had been on the mall and had left to buy a pack of batteries and then could not get back on. And so I ended up taking in the speech from the lobby of the Human Rights Campaign, sort of gay and lesbian rights group. And it was a very interesting place to watch the people when he spoke about, being inclusive and, treating everybody equally. Everyone in the room was very moved, and there were a lot of people holding hands and, tears in their eyes. And, a great sense of relief that the Bush administration was leaving.
And do either one of you get the sense, having experienced this day with people and observing them, reporting them, and then watching them, that it's more than just celebrating the history of the moment, that there is this sense of a possible long-lasting effect on them and a call to responding to that call of action from Barack Obama.
Well, we'll see. A lot of people I talked to last night, I was at a ball that was jointly hosted by New Hampshire and South Carolina, so-called Grits and Granite Ball. It was kind of an interesting mix culturally at the party. But a lot of people I spoke to said that they were overjoyed and dancing and drinking and so forth. But they also said that they hoped that they had what it took to respond to the president's call for engagement, and they hoped that America had the attention span to move through and be excited and be engaged, and not just on the day he was inaugurated, but in the years to come.
Ben?
And on my end, I would say that I'm really curious to see what numbers come back from that National Day of Service that they called for. I've heard that they're trying to take some of the vast field organization that they built, as part of the campaign, and transition this into a service operation in the years to come. I've talked to some people in different parts of the country that I've been in touch with, and they're trying to do that actively. And with this day of service, I'm curious to see whether or not they're actually able to make that transition, and then beyond now, whether or not that has longevity, if they are able to do it in the short term.
Well, I've talked with a lot of Obama volunteers, and they don't want to stop working. They still want a cause.
I think there may
be something to work with there.
Josh, Ben, did either one of you get that
sense? I did get that sense, and I was speaking with somebody who was telling me about the way in which even a lot of the groups chosen to march in the parade were chosen, that a lot of them, the sort of the culling process in terms of who got to march and who didn't, a lot of that was, had a sort of almost a service component and groups that had achieved, tangible things in their communities. And a lot of the people I talked to said that they, intended to remain fully engaged. It's certainly not uncommon in New Hampshire various presidential primaries to kind of, keep plugging along, at least on the political front.
Until the next primary there in New Hampshire, as we know.
Yes.
Always put you guys on the map. Josh Rogers, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Josh Rogers is a political reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio. And Ben Calhoun, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ben Calhoun is a political reporter for Chicago Public Radio.
And this listener wants to keep Barack Obama engaged on day one.
Hi, my name is Brian Hinkle. The first order of business has to be coming up with a longer-term solution to the banking crisis. Stock market's down more than 200 points. Everyone is greatly worried about where their savings are going and where their paychecks are going to be deposited, and that's a sort of worry that tears a nation apart if you can't manage to staunch it quickly.
Put something on the top of Obama's to-do list at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Your takeaway from David Sanger.
Whether the first big test is over the Gaza, over Iran, over North Korea, or over an incursion into the Pakistani territories, I can't tell you. But I can tell you this. Each one of them is going to take a shot and see how he reacts.
And David Sanger says Gaza is the easy one. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. We're always on. If you missed anything, take our podcast to go. Subscribe at thetakeaway.org.
I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.